Predisposition. A Tim Drake and Jason Todd fic written by Green Eyed Firework and read by 42 Do Not Panic. Summary. Jason, newly returned to Gotham, finds an Omega pub being assaulted by a gang. This fic is recorded for the informal Tumblr Podfic Exchange 2024. Jason liked to call it seeing green, like he was the Hulk or something, because he knew his eyes glowed whenever the pit was particularly close to the surface, but he didn't actually see green. Everything around him was just focused. Rage beating in clear, concordant harmony, every fiber of himself utterly dedicated to taking his target and tearing them apart. The warhorse was splattered in blood when Jason was done, red and cloying and thick, and the helmet filtered out scents, but Jason could imagine the copper undertone to fear and rage. He didn't know how many bodies littered the floor. He hadn't been counting, and now there were in too many pieces. He'd only make sure that each of them was dead, dead and unable to hurt anyone ever again. A small, broken, agonized whimper. The pit packed up, but this wasn't another target. This was a too small form huddled on the ground, half curled up, pants around their feet. Jason hadn't gotten here in time to save them, but he'd at least gotten here in time to stop it. The clear focus crystallized into determination, and Jason shifted, drawing out of his crouch and sheathing his knife and gun. The pit amplified emotions. For an Alpha, like Ra's al Ghul, it fed their drive for power and control. For an Omega, like Jason, it fanned the flames of their vicious protectiveness. Right now, there was a pub in trouble, and nothing else mattered. Jason took the helmet off as he approached, footsteps quiet. "Hey," he said, and the low voice caused another audible whimper of distress. "Shh, puppy, I'm not going to hurt you, I promise. No one's going to hurt you." The pup twitched, like they'd tried and failed to curl up further, and Jason frowned. That wasn't a good sign. He couldn't trust the system in Gotham, not the cops or doctors, and it was a lesson every street kid had learned young. There was Doc Leslie and her clinic, of course, but that was bad territory, and Jason was avoiding any connection to Batman as he set up his final grand showdown. With an injured pup in front of him, Jason didn't care about his showdown. He didn't care about anything but keeping the kid safe. "Here you go." Jason shrugged out of his jacket and used it to carefully cover the pup's body. "I'm not going to hurt you, puppy. I promise." There was a wavering exhale and, "I'm not a puppy," came the thin, hoarse voice. The kid couldn't be older than 16, and it didn't matter that he'd already presented Omega. He was still a pup, and the rules Jason was in the process of laying down as the Red Hood made it very clear that no one touched pups. Well, those men would never touch anything ever again. Jason had made sure of that. "You killed them," came out sounding wretched, and Jason bit down on the instinctive snarl. "I did," Jason said quietly. "I will kill anyone who hurts pups." He was going to prove to Batman that he was better, that no child would ever get trapped in a continuous cycle of violence under his watch. "Do you have a name, kid?" The next inhale sounded distinctly wet. "Tim," the kid whispered, and the scent of misery was thick in the air. "I'm the Red Hood, but you can call me Hood," Jason said. "Cannot call you Timmy? Timbo? Timmers?" A huff that might have been a laugh. "No nickname? I can do that too." A harsh breath. "Anything is fine." "I think you're going to regret giving me that power, but okay, Timbuktu," Jason said, and that was a giggle this time. "Can you get up?" Silence, ragged breaths, the pup's fingers curled and opened again. "Do you want some help?" Jason asked, an abrupt, fearful keen, and he responded with a low, soothing croon. "It's okay. I won't touch you if you don't want me to, Tim. I promise." Some more gasping breaths before Tim spoke again, voice muted. "Head hurts." Jason ignored the spike of alarm with the ease of long practice and shifted until he was sitting closer to Tim's head. "Can I check?" he asked gently. Another stretching sound of silence and a soft, accepting hum. "All right." Jason kept his voice calm and even. "I'm going to put my hand on your shoulders now, okay? Just to help you sit up. Keep taking deep breaths, okay? And tell me if anything feels wrong." "Okay." It sounded so defeated that Jason wanted to bring his group of rapists back to life just to murder them again and slower this time. Jason was careful to move slower and smooth, gripping Tim's shoulders. Christ, the kid was thin! And gently drew the kid upright. He snagged a jacket and tucked it to cover the kid more completely before easing back to scan the kid. He was shivering, arms clasped tightly around himself, and he definitely hit his head on something. His face wore a mask of red below the dark hair. His skin was too pale, and he was blinking too fast. His blue eyes focused on Jason easily enough. Anything blurry? You feeling dizzy? Can you tell me how many fingers I'm holding up? 3, Tim answered promptly. It's not blurry, but... He swallowed thickly. I was really dizzy at the start, and I couldn't fight. Shh, Jason soothed as the ominous pup's distress ticked up higher. It's not your fault. They hit me. The pup was almost hyperventilating. With a break, and then I tried. Everything was moving too fast. Jason wanted to bundle him up into a hug and never let go, or maybe introduce him to one of Dick's octopus hugs that had never failed to make him feel safe and loved and protected. Wait, no. He was mad at Dick. Dick had failed. Jason took the thought free and turned back to the pub. It's not your fault, Jason repeated. And they will never hurt you again. There was a thread of a growl in Jason's words, but he couldn't help it. His instincts were screaming at him to bundle the pup up in a nest where nothing could ever get to him, and the pit wasn't helping. The pup still smelled miserable, ducking their head. Do you feel nauseous, Tim? Jason asked. Do you know where you are? I don't feel sick, Tim said to the floor, and I'm in Park Row. Well, there certainly weren't many people that still called it that. Can you tell me what you were doing here, Timmy? Jason asked quietly. Tim froze up again. His voice was even softer as he jerked his head towards a pile of broken glass and rolled metal. Taking photos. Jason made a sympathetic hum at the broken camera and turned back to Tim. Can I call someone to pick you up, Timbers? He asked. The camera and those clothes looked a little too well made to be street kid wear. And besides, no street kid would have called this place Park Row. Tim went rigid in a way that didn't signify anything good. Timmy, Jason pressed. Can I call your parents? Tim shook his head slowly, eyes distant. They're dead. A guardian? Jason asked. Tim ducked his head and didn't answer. Friends? Anywhere you'll be safe. Not like this. Tim whispered softly. No, no one. It made something in Jason's heart crack. It was getting harder and harder to resist his instincts. You can't be alone on the streets, pup, Jason said quietly, though he was having trouble coming up with a solution. There were vanishingly few people in the city that he trusted, and Jason couldn't point him the way of the street kids and prostitutes because 2 glances and anyone could tell that Tim wasn't from around here. I'm fine, Tim said, but Jason could tell he didn't even believe it himself. He understood the dilemma, though. The foster care system in the city was a hellhole. Guardians were frequently abusive, and staying alone was often the safer option. Hell, Jason had fought tooth and nail at any attempt to snatch him, until he'd been given a home. Hey, Tim. Jason smiled. The whole point was taking Batman's playbook and making it better, after all. How about you stay with me for a bit? Tim looked up at him, blue eyes gone wide, and hastily scrambled back, stumbling and shaking violently. No, the pup keened. No, please, I don't. Please don't. I'm not going to touch you, Jason said, raising his voice over the begging. Shh, Tim, I'm not going to hurt you, I promise. Tim was looking up at him with terrified, shining blue eyes, and Jason inwardly cursed before tugging at his scent blockers. I'm an Omega, Jason said, dropping his voice into an Omega croon. I'm not going to hurt you, Timmy. Tim stopped trying to scramble back. You'll be safe, I promise. Tim's face scrunched up when Jason's sense hit him, his expression flaring with surprise and faint traces of confusion. He sniffed again and let Jason come closer, and didn't flee when Jason extended a wrist, Bloody Glove talked of. It's not permanent. You owe me nothing, Jason said softly. I just want to make sure you're safe. He could smell his own protective fury permeating the air. It had a bite, but Tim took a deep breath and swayed closer. The pup cautiously extended his own wrist and rubbed it against Jason's before quickly withdrawing. Jason to tempt down on the pleased satisfaction, but his inner Omega was purring and demanding a rub his scent all over to claim the pup as his. Come on, Jason offered an open palm. Let's get you somewhere safe. A bath and some hot food. How does that sound? Tim squeezed his eyes shut and took a ragged breath before placing his hand in Jason's. Tim wondered if he'd stepped into an alternate reality, or maybe he was dreaming. Maybe this was one prolonged nightmare, and he'd wake up, heart pounding, and remember to check his surroundings the next time he was taking photos in the middle of the night. Maybe the sharp, throbbing pain between his legs was just a vivid dream, and his pounding headache was just a symptom of dehydration. Maybe he hadn't actually followed the Red Hood, a criminal, to his surprisingly homey apartment just because he smelled safe. Maybe Tim wasn't being nudged to the bathroom with soft words and gentle croons. Maybe he wasn't actually burning from the inside out with a desire to throw himself in Hood's arms and sob until everything cracked open and drained away. It hurt. It hurt so much. It felt like he was mired in disbelief. It felt like he was stuck in quicksand. It felt like he was drowning in a kiddie pool. The plan had been simple. Bruce was too stressed, and Tim was almost 16. He could create a fake identity and live on his own instead of making Bruce take guardianship again. The plan had been simple, except that it left him alone, and now he was sitting on the edge of a bathtub as a man liberally splattered with blood explained how the shower worked. Shampoo and soaps over here, Jason said, pointing at the corner. Feel free to use as much as you want. Towels on the rack, and I'll get you clothes and be back in a second. He backed out of the bathroom. For an Omega, he was almost as big as Bruce. And instead of feeling relieved, he felt his throat closing up. Blood. He remembered so much blood, and the screams as the Red Hood cut through the gang like they were blades of grass, like they weren't people, like it was nothing, like Tim hadn't fought and struggled as much as he could against the dizziness, against the pain as they held him down and took what they wanted. And Hood was an Omega. Tim hadn't expected that. Or the fierce, furious bite of protectiveness when Hood peeled off his scent blockers, or the way everything in him just relaxed. Safe, his mind had insisted stridently, even as Tim was rearranging the rumors of the Dark Lord with the news that Hood was a fiery, protective, and territorial Omega. Here you go. Hood smiled at him. He looked young, too, which Tim supposed was why he wore the helmet and put the clothes on the rack. Do you need anything else? Tim didn't know. His mind worked too fast. It always had. But right now it was half replaying the pain, half replaying those gruesome deaths, and things kept stuttering in and out, like a skipping record. Timmers had wavered, like he was going to back away and something inside him twisted. Don't go. Hood stopped. You want me to stay here? Hood asked with faint bewilderment. In the bathroom? Tim nodded silently. Hood was safe, and his heart was beating too fast, and he wanted Puck. But he didn't have Puck, and everything hurt. It was too much. Shh, Timmy, I'll stay. It's okay. Hood said gently, and Tim realized he was crying again. He swiped at his eyes and only succeeded in smearing the blood. It's okay, puppy. I'm right here. Do you want some help? Tim wasn't a child. He could take a shower by himself. He didn't know what to do. He had to turn the shower on. He had to get his clothes off, and he had to clean himself. He had to move. Okay. Hood's voice was quiet and soothing, and Tim felt Carlo's fingers curl around his clenched fingers. Let's first put your SD card on the counter so it doesn't get wet, okay? Tim let Hood uncurl his fingers and tuck the card out. The only thing salvageable from his expensive camera, something else he had to replace, and the Drake finances were a mess after his dad treatment and his dad was dead, and Tim had been too late and... It's right here, right on the counter. Hood murmured. It's just so it doesn't get wet. Tim knew that, but it didn't help the jagged hole tearing inside of him. Now you need to get out of your clothes. Hood said, and heavy hands settled on his waist, on his jeans, everything inside him screaming. Omega. He could smell furious, upset, protective Omega crooning at him, and it had been so long since he'd heard that, since before his mother died, and Tim couldn't help but respond with the pup keen for pack, even though he knew his pack was dead and gone. I'm not going to touch you if you don't want me to, Tim. I promise. You can tell me to stop or leave at any time, came the low voice. There were no hands on his jeans now, and Tim huddled further in the corner and hiccuped. You need to take your clothes off to take a shower, puppy. He didn't want to. He just wanted it all to stop. Do you want to be clean? Tim did want to be clean. He wanted to scrub and scrub and scrub until he couldn't even remember what they did to him, until he washed it all off and was whole again. He swallowed thickly and unbuttoned his jeans with trembling fingers. The shirt was the greater obstacle. Taking it off meant that Tim was naked. Naked and shivering. Naked and shivering in a strange place, and only the fact that the entire bathroom smelled like safe, protect, kept him from dissolving into tears. Into the tub. Hood prompted gently, and Tim huddled inside and drew the curtain closed. His instinct screamed. He was alone again. All alone. So very alone. No. You remember how the shower works? Hood's voice broke through the spiral, and Tim hiccuped in a sob. He wasn't alone. Hood was right outside, and Hood was safe, and Tim was safe. Even if Tim couldn't see him, he was right outside. Tim did remember how the shower worked, and he turned the dial and pulled it back and waited for the water to warm up. Hood was right outside. He was, even if Tim could hear nothing over the water. Can you talk? Tim croaked out. It was a second of silence, long enough for his panic to kick into high gear before Hood's low drawl sounded. Sure, Timmers. I can talk. Well, I can ramble. I'm not very good at being chatty on command. That was more at my older brother's stick. But I can tell a story. Tim switched the water to the shower head, and the hot water cut through the dumbness, along with Hood's story about a ski trip with his older brother. He felt like he was moving on autopilot with the soap. Hood had the same brand that Alfred bought, and made him want to cry all over again, washing the blood off his face, wincing as he cleaned out the wound hiding in his hair, and moving downward. Tim didn't realize he was sobbing until there was a small break in Hood's story, and his choked gasp filled the silence. Hood didn't comment on it, just kept talking, explaining how his older brother tried to get a picture of himself mid-jump in order to impress his girlfriend, and fell face planted, Hood said gleefully, right on his dumb face in the snow, and you can bet I got 10 pictures of his ass sticking up and sent those to his girlfriend before digging him out. And the voice drained the panic out and the fear, leaving nothing behind but misery and listlessness. His training would have told him to stay on guard, but he was too tired, and it hurt, and he never again wanted to clean himself, to watch pink water swirling down the drain, to remember what they did to him. And the scent of protective fury surrounded him like a hug. Tim knew it was wish fulfillment, but some part of him wanted Robin so badly he could trick himself into believing he could smell Jason Todd's fierce, protect, safe, mine, Omega scent. The pub was nearly pink by the time he got out, but Jason didn't say anything. He knew the impact of his scalding hot shower, and Tim did look more settled as he pulled on Jason's clothes. All clean? Jason asked softly as Tim slipped the towel back on the rack. The pup nodded. Now that his face was clean, his features looked faintly familiar, like Jason had seen them before. He just couldn't pinpoint where. It wasn't important right now. Can I check your wound? Jason kept his voice low and soothing, though his inner Omega was going crazy at the smell of an injured and miserable pup, and desperately wanted to cover Tim in his own scent. The kid nodded again, and obediently tilted his head down so Jason could comb through his hair. The wound was shallow, and it had already stopped bleeding. Jason dabbed some antiseptic on it, just to be safe, but it seemed to be fine. He only realized he'd been absently stroking Tim's hair when the pup started purring. The bedroom's in here. Jason shoved Tim out of the steamy bathroom, handing him the SD card and steering him away from his ruined clothes to the bedroom and Jason's cozy nest. More nesting blankets and pillows are in that closet. Feel free to use whatever you like. But what about you? Tim looked at him with wide eyes, like Jason was going to bolt out the window the moment his back was turned. I'll be back. I'll just take a quick shower. He'd attempted to wipe off as much of the blood as he could when the pup was in the shower, but there was only so much he could do without a proper bath. Promise? Jason realized that the kid's ease was incredibly fragile, and the way that he curled in on himself in the too big sweatshirt was heartbreaking. Promise. Jason forced the approximation of a smile on his face, and he got Tim's nod of acknowledgement before disappearing for the fastest shower he'd ever taken. When he got back, dressed in another pair of comfy sweatpants and a t-shirt, he saw a mound of sobbing Omega pup curled in the center of the nest, leaking distress. That he was holding back, pit-shamed instincts, if Jason even wanted to try. He was on the bed in 2 seconds, curling around Tim, the pup's breast started when Jason's arms closed around him, and then keened when Jason's scent hit him, wriggling closer to practically smother himself against Jason's neck, and fierce, furious, vengeful Omega protectiveness swirled out like they were sitting in the middle of a storm. The scent was thick, almost suffocating, but Tim made no protest, and it just grew deeper and louder at the slide of wetness on Jason's skin, tears pooling in the curve of his collarbone. The kid was inconsolable. Jason crooned softly to him, one arm wrapped tight as the other rubbed slow circles against his shoulders, and Tim kept crying. It was torture, yet Jason never wanted to let go.
Mine,
the pit proclaimed.
Mine.
And Jason let it fill him, let the claws of possessiveness bite deep at his scent, envelop the sobbing pup. No one would ever hurt this kid again, because Jason wouldn't let them. He was Jason's pup now, all his, and Jason rubbed his cheeks against Tim's hair as the pup cried all his fear and misery and helplessness. Jason would be the rock in the raging waves, the eye of the storm, the isle of safety, and he would tear any intruders to pieces. No one, Jason growled, almost alpha deep, will ever touch you again. On that, Jason swore. Tim cried harder, clinging to Jason so tightly that Jason was worried about the structural integrity of his shirt. Jason continued the low hums and soothing pressure, taking deep breaths to avoid being overwhelmed by the surge of pit rage and then unending sobs. After what felt like an eternity, the sobs petered off. They died to gasping breaths, and then hiccups, and finally tired sniffles, Tim drooping further and further against him. Jason adjusted them so they were both lying on their side, and wrangled a thick blanket free, shifting so that he was on the bottom and Tim was sprawled half on top of him. "Shh, puppy," Jason crooned softly, tucking the blanket in and raising a hand to stroke through the kid's soft hair. "You can go to sleep. I'm here to guard your dreams." It was what his mother used to say, wrapped around Jason in their nest and running a hand through his curls, and Tim quieted, his breathing evening out. Jason's scream dropped to a purr, and soon his own eyelids were too heavy to lift. He kept his arms locked around his pup and let the darkness drag him down. Chapter 2. Tim stared at the honey-covered toast and felt something settle uneasily in his stomach. It smelled too real, especially after he had spent the last night in a haze, and it was drawing him back to reality as a pace Tim was not comfortable with. "Not hungry, Timmers?" Hoad had turned away from the stove to look at him in concern, the Omega's worried sense drifting out, and Tim automatically lifted the toast and took a bite. It was sweet. Chewing was enough to get the Omega's attention off of him and back to the stove, and Tim curled up closer around his mug of green tea. Everything felt unreal, like stepping out into a bright sunny day after too much time spent indoors, except not nearly as pleasant. Like the first step on Earth's gravity after a month in space. The sudden knowledge that the real world was back with all of its problems. And there were a lot of problems. His camera was ruined. He'd have to buy a new one. And see what, if anything, could be salvaged from this decard sitting innocuously on the table. His clothes were ruined too, and the ones Hood had lent him were conspicuously back. Another issue. Tabled for now, because he didn't have his wallet anywhere on him. And the rape. Tim tried to take deep breaths. Hood had given him an urgent contraceptive pill. He'd cleaned it. It still hurt, and there was some blood, but he... Timbered, came Hood's soft, low voice, and Tim distantly realized he was breathing too fast. You okay, puppy? No. No, Tim was not okay. Tim suspected he hadn't been okay in a while. His father's last word echoing in his ears. The blood, the funeral, Bruce's awkward, fumbling attempts to start a conversation, and last time Tim had been selfish. Last time he'd eagerly accepted Bruce's offer of guardianship, but this time he knew better. Bruce didn't need more responsibilities. The polite fiction of an uncle so that Bruce didn't feel obligated, and they were both free. It was funny how much freedom felt like loneliness. Shh, it's okay, came the soft, clicking tone, accompanied by a casual brush of his hair, a swell in the fierce scent that permeated the entire apartment. You're safe here, Tim. I promise. Tim believed it. Everything he heard about the Red Hood pointed to drug lord, not protector. And Tim had watched him tear apart a dozen Alphas, but Tim still believed him, the same blind faith with which he once followed Robin and Batman. But he was intruding here too. He was in Hood's pub, even if the other Omega was momentarily deluded, and besides, the Omega was barely a few years older than him. Whatever Hood was doing, he wouldn't want to be saddled with a teenager any more than Bruce did. Tim was Robin. Tim was a hero. Tim didn't need anyone taking care of him. That doesn't happen to heroes, a dark voice whispered inside of his head. I should go, Tim said quietly. He had to go back to his apartment and figure out how to replace the things he'd lost, and figure out an excuse to give to Bruce to avoid going to the cave for a couple of days and... What? Hood's response was immediately and crackling. Where are you going to go? He was standing like he intended to bundle Tim back into his nest right this second, tense and green eyes narrowed. I have an apartment? Tim ducked his head, poking at his toast again. It wasn't a street cut, if that was what Hood thought. And I have to call into work? Hood was silent for a stretching moment, and when Tim looked up, it was to see Hood grabbing the nearest chair and pulling it closer to Tim before taking a seat. No one will fault you for taking a day off, Tim, Hood said seriously. And if someone does fault you... His expression twisted to something sharper, and Tim abruptly remembered he was a criminal. I'll handle it. Tim had a stifle and an improvident giggle at the thought of Hood trying to menace Batman. Though actually, Hood was terrifying and scarily efficient. Do you have someone to call to stay with you? Hood asked softly. Tim didn't need to call anyone. He wasn't a child. Besides, anyone he could call would have lots of inconvenient questions he didn't want to answer. Tim, I'm not leaving you alone. Not the day after you were raped. Tim didn't remember pushing up from his seat, but he was abruptly halfway across the kitchen, trembling. Hood hadn't gotten up from his seat, his expression sad. The word was ringing around in his skull. Rape. He could remember their comments like they'd been branded across his skin. He could remember the way he'd felt like he was moving through molasses, everything sluggish as he was forced to his knees, fingers yanking at his pants, the first press of pain, too wide, too big, too much, and he was screaming, and they just laughed. He could remember terror and panic, misery ballooning out until there was nothing left. Someone was crooning, low but omega soft, and Tim backed up until he hit a wall, curling his arms around himself to stop the shuddering. Safe. Everything around him said, but that just made the contrast worse, left him no choice but to fall apart because there was no reason to be Robin here. There was only Tim, and Tim had never been enough. Arms tugged him into an encompassing hug, brushes of sand over the misery, pain, upset, to cover it was safe. Protect. Mine. And Tim couldn't believe he was falling apart again, but the tears clawed their way out as he shook. It's going to be okay, puppy, came the croon, Just let it out. Fingers stroked through his hair, arms held him against the broad chest, and Tim melted into a puddle of sobs. It hurt like everything inside of him was rubbed raw and grating, and he just wanted it to stop hurting, but it was all too much. The only thing holding him together was the Omega curled around him, and the fierce, certain surety that he was safe here. Tim was thoroughly covered in Jason's scent, promising a quick and painful death should anyone lay a single hand on Jason's pup and tucked into his nest, safe and warm. Papa had cried on and off the whole day, and Jason hadn't left him for a moment, devoted to making sure Tim knew that he was protected. Tim hadn't brought up leaving again, and Jason was secretly pleased. Tim was his pup now, and Jason was ready and willing to destroy anyone who tried to take him away from him. Jason would probably need to take Tim to his apartment at some point to retrieve his belongings, but Jason had the necessities and Tim's safety was a priority now. Which was what made this so difficult. Jason didn't want to leave. He had settled with Tim on the couch and put some random cartoon on TV while he idly braided the pup's hair, but he'd gotten a message from one of his contacts that Batman and Nightwing had shown up in the alley, looking for him. Given that Jason had barely put his plan into motion, it was certainly a surprise. "You're coming back, right?" Tim asked, worried eyes peering out from his blanket burrito. "Of course," Jason said before pulling his helmet on. "I'll be back real soon. Just a minor matter I have to take care of." Tim didn't look convinced, but he didn't try to stop Jason from leaving. Jason, for his part, tried to ignore how the look in Tim's eyes made him feel like he'd murdered a baby seal. It was just a quick jaunt to reassert his claim on the LA, piss off Batman and the Golden Boy, and then run back home to Tim. "First you have to stick lurking on the fire escape," his brain pointed out, and Jason blew out a sharp breath before rising up and heading to the roof. Crime LA was not all that large, and it took him less than 10 minutes to get to the specific rooftop. Nightwing was immediately obvious, electric blue splashed against his uniform, but Batman had sunk into the shadows. Jason unholstered his gun before his landing and pointed it straight at Batman when his boots hit gravel.
"This is my territory,"
Jason growled, the voice modulator making it appropriately intimidating.
"No one's allowed. Scram."
Nightwing stepped forward, expression tight. "This is important, Hurt."
"Wow, it's like you didn't hear me at all. If you don't leave in the next 5 seconds, I'll start shooting."
"We need your help." Nightwing spoke over him. Jason was startled enough to pause, realizing that Nightwing's expression was tight with desperation. "Please, there's a kid missing in your territory." Fuck. That was a carefully aimed strike. Jason's hold on the gun wavered, and he was sure the bats had noticed.
"You decided to come to me? The Red Hood protects children,"
came the low growl, and Jason was startled enough that he nearly squeezed the trigger. Batman stepped into the light, looking larger than Jason's memory remembered him being.
"There's evidence that he was hurt, now he's missing. Will you help us?"
Jason was really tempted to say no to spite Batman and refute his assertion. What the hell did he know about Jason anyway? But if there was a pup running around the alley, hurt and afraid, Jason's instinct wouldn't let him let it go. Sometimes being an Omega was a curse. Jason begrudgingly lowered the gun.
"Who's the kid?"
he snapped. Nightwing's posture slumped in relief as he stepped closer, holding out a picture. "His name's Tim Drake," he said as Jason stared at the very, very familiar face. "He's 16. He hasn't been seen since 4 p.m. yesterday. He was spotted entering the alley at 10 p.m. Jason tore the photo down the middle. Replacement. His mind hissed, and how had he not put the goddamn pieces together before? Nightwing started to a stop, clearly shocked, as Jason shredded the photo and let the pieces flutter to the ground like confetti. The pit was howling inside of him, demanding retribution, revenge, justice for the 15-year-old boy that had died and been replaced, and the target was so, so very close.
"I think you would have learned to keep a closer eye on your little birds,"
Jason hissed and threw a smoke bomb before Nightwing had the time to flinch. There was no rationality, no pointing out how many plants he'd just ruined, only rage, the perfect clarity of the target in his crosshairs. That lying, thieving little sneak, imagine thinking he could scurry into Jason's house under Jason's protection, into his own goddamn nest. The laser focus had never been sharper. It was easy to vanish from Batman and Nightwing, easy to navigate the alleys out of sight. This was his territory, his home, and everything inside him was screaming to remove the trespasser as soon as possible. Jason boosted himself through the fire escape window, not bothering to close it behind him, and removed his helmet as he stalked to the bedroom. He wanted to force the replacement to look him in the eye when he was confronted with everything he'd stolen. "Hurts?" the replacement said, a tousled head popping out of Jason's nest. "That wasn't too long." Jason growled. He could smell fury in the air, sharp and thick and territorial, and the interloper's voice died out quickly. "Hurts?" the replacement repeated, quieter, withdrawing into the nest as Jason stalked closer. His eyes were wide and blue, an obvious manipulation. Are you okay?" No, no, he was not. As long as his target kept fucking breathing, he wouldn't be okay. Jason kept the low growl rumbling as he reached the edge of the nest, trying to decide how best to spill the pretender's blood. "Hurts?" The replacement's voice was cracking. "You're scaring me." "Good." Jason fluidly boosted himself into the nest, unsheathing a knife. That pile neck would be so easy to slit. It smelled like pup fear. He had a target. His focus was the target. Fear and misery and upset. This was his nest, his goddamn territory, and there were no intruders allowed. "Hurts?" The voice was turning into a squeak. What are you doing?" He was keeping his territory safe. That was what he was doing. Making sure that nothing fucking contaminated it. You don't need to rub that hard." Jason narrowed his eyes and scrubbed harder, curling around the pup until Jason could smell nothing but his own rage-tinged sense overlying everything. The rumpled pup was trapped in place, and now he smelled like Jason, and there would be no stealing here. "Are you okay?" the pup asked. "Because your eyes are glowing, and you're not saying anything." His voice betrayed a hint of apprehension, and Jason sat on him more solidly to make sure the pup wasn't going anywhere. This was his space, and that meant everything inside it was his. Jason growled again, a clear warning, and to his surprise, was met with a stuttering purr. Jason looked down at the pup in his lap and blinked as Tim tentatively reached closer to nuzzle under his chin in a hesitant scenting of his own. Jason's grip tightened. "Mine," the Omega howled with all the clarity of the pit. "It's okay," Tim patted Jason's arm, looking at him with an earnest expression. "I'm safe. You don't need to worry about me." Jason made an imperious sniff to illustrate his opinion of the pup's sentiment and begrudgingly settled more comfortable in the nest. The growling grew louder when he realized that his holsters were jabbing awkwardly and he had to unbuckle his armor and took off his weapons without letting go of Tim. "It's okay." The Omega pup kept up the soft purring, tucking himself firmly in Jason's grasp once the armor was gone. "It's okay. We're safe here." Yes, Jason would make sure of that. The constant rumbling was strangely soothing, and Tim yawned for the fourth time, drooping further against the older Omega. He didn't know how long it had been, but Hood seemed to have calmed down, getting rid of the knife and cuddling more conventionally and less like he was trying to cage Tim. Hood's entrance had been terrifying. Tim was stuck to the spot, unable to move, phantom fingers keeping him in place as the Omega stalked closer with eyes like green fire and a viciously furious expression on his face. He'd exuded such a territorial scent that Tim had wanted to flee, but before he could, Hood had pounced. Tim had nearly had a heart attack. He wasn't naive enough to think that Alphas were the only people that heard Omegas, hyperventilating as Hood aggressively scented him, and only hiccuping to a modicum of calm when he realized that Hood wasn't attacking him. Tim didn't ask what had happened. Hood was a criminal, technically, and a murderer. Tim didn't think he wanted to know. This little bubble would burst, but until it did, Tim liked being halfway smothered by an overprotective Omega. It made him feel safe in a way that felt like a very best of warm hugs. "Shh," was accompanied by a gentle finger stroking to his hair. Tim melted. "Sleep, baby birds. It was funny, because that was Dick's nickname for him too. Tim smiled at the coincidence and let his eyes slip closed. He still hurt, but Hood was here, and Hood would keep him safe, and Tim felt like he could let go and truly relax, because surely nothing could get him with Hood around. There was a distant scrape. Hood's rumbling abruptly cut out, and Tim could feel his skin begin to prickle as the air grew heavier. The tension stretched, tauter and tauter, until, "We know you're here, Hood," came Nadwin's sharp tone. "Come out." Tim straightened, confused. What? How the hell? Why was Nightwing here? As the bedroom doorway was filled with two silhouettes, Nightwing and Batman. What the hell? Tim. Nightwing breathed out, one screamer lowering, sounding relieved, before looking past him to the swords of the growling filling the room. The screamer clattered out of his hand. Jason? Nightwing almost choked. What? What? Tim twisted in Hood's grip, looking up, and now that he was searching for it, that strange sense of familiarity twisted easily into place, that strong jaw, the voice, the scent. How had he not seen it before? Jason? Tim repeated, unsure whether to be embarrassed or elated. Get the fuck out, Jason growled, scent sharply acidic. Well, you can still walk. His hackles were clearly raised, and the entire room was beginning to fill with the scent of a furious Omega. Little Wing, Dick said, voice quietly chattered, stepping closer and taking a deep breath to take in his scent. It's really you. Not a fucking step closer, Jason hissed. How are you? What happened? Dick's gaze switched to Tim, bewildered. When did you find Tim? Stay away. Jason's tone was an obvious threat. Tim tried to wriggle free of his grip, but Jason just tightened it. You've done more than fucking enough, dickhead. While Dick hesitated, expression torn, a low alpha growl spoke. What are you doing with Tim? Wait. What am I doing with him? Jason echoed, snarling. What am I doing with him? Tim saw Dick edge a step closer with Jason's focus on Batman. I saved him. Well, you let him go back to an empty apartment with no guardian whatsoever. Wait, Tim tried to interject. I didn't. What empty apartment? I can't believe you're this incompetent. Stop it. You, Batman said coldly, have no idea what you're talking about. How dare you? Jason hissed. I would have thought losing one pup would have taught you a fucking lesson, old man. For a stretching moment, there was nothing but stillness. There was something twisting in Tim's stomach, something sick and too warm and quietly revelatory. If this was Jason and Bruce and Dick knew about, and then Tim was... Tim didn't know what came next. Tim saw Dick lunging too late to call out a warning. Jason exploded into action, uncoiling from Tim with a speed that astonished him. Dick was relying on a surprise attack, with that lost and still off-kilter, Jason easily took him down, slamming him into the nest and biting hard at the back of his neck. Dick immediately went limp with a strangled whine, and Jason kept one hand wrapped around his throat as he glared up at Batman, who'd taken two steps inside before freezing. A step closer, Jason threatened. He didn't have to finish it. He was exuding enough angry Omega scent that the hornet's nest looked peaceful. Batman was angry. Jason was furious. Dick was limp in submission and probably scared. And it was all because of Tim. Tim gingerly tugged on Jason's arm. I'm sorry, he whispered, voice growing quieter when the Omega spun to stare at him. I didn't mean to. I didn't want. It's a mess, and I'll leave. Shut up, Jason snapped. Tim reared back, but Jason didn't let him go far, snagging Tim's shirt and dragging him closer until Tim was again squeezed against his side. This is not your fault, Jason said darkly, sending him again. You're not leaving. Batman meant a sound at that, and Jason narrowed his eyes and growled deeper. Mine, he said, sending Tim more deliberately with a clear challenge. Tim's fingers around Dick's arm and gripped tight. He didn't want to see Bruce and Jason fighting. Not over him. Dick was already hurt, and someone else would get hurt, and... Shh, Jason crooned softly, Shh, Papi, no one's going to hurt you, I promise. They're going to have to get through me first. Shh, you're safe. You're safe. Kim couldn't help but trembling. It's okay, Pop, Jason tried to soothe, but Tim's gaze was still fixed on the immovable statue of Batman.
Okay,
Batman said.
What?
Okay, Batman repeated.
I'm not taking you away.
His voice was conciliatory, but Jason still growled.
You don't get Dickie back either,
Jason hissed, hauling Dick closer. Dick groaned at the movement and let out a soft ow as he was dropped at the back of the nest.
Just a bite, you big baby.
Still hurts, Dick grumbled. Jason pushed him back until he was cuddling against Dick, and Dick's arm deeply wrapped around him.
You okay, baby bird? Dick asked softly.
Tim just nestled closer. His throat was tight and thick. Now Bruce and Dick knew that something had happened to him, and he had nowhere to hide, but he also had an Omega insisting that Tim was under his protection. He didn't know how to feel.
They're mine,
Jason snarled at Batman, attacking the Alpha like he was a threat.
Okay,
Batman said. Jason narrowed his eyes.
Okay,
he echoed.
Is that all you have to say? I've stolen both your kids, and you just say, okay.
You're my kid too, and arguing with Omegas in preheat is usually a futile endeavor.
Oh, so that was why Jason's scent was so strong.
Jason blinked, looking very surprised.
What? I'm not. How do you even know?
Jason, Bruce said, pulling his cowl off. The man looked weary, like he hadn't gotten much sleep, and he was looking at Jason like he was a miracle.
He did the exact same thing in your presentation heat. You bit Deck when he got too close, and then refused to let him go.
Got used as a teddy bear the whole time, he confirmed scratchily. Jason snarled again, but his scent was fading slightly from fury and leaking out embarrassment.
Shut up, he snapped, retreating until he could curl around both Tim and Dick and growling again at Bruce. You don't get him back this time.
Okay, Bruce said, clearly paid to hit him home.
Shall I get you some provisions?
Jason eyed Bruce warily for a long moment before sniffing.
That fancy trial mix. I couldn't find it at any of the stores. All right. I'll get it.
And mango milkshake.
Okay.
And some good bread.
Okay.
Kiwis.
Jay.
Alfred snickerdoodles.
Would you like to write this down?
Bruce asked dryly. Jason considered for a moment.
No, he said, smiling with teeth. I also want that sugary crap Dick thinks is cereal, strawberries, whatever Tim's favorite snack is, gray popsicles from that one brand that has blue and orange labeling, those flavored ice thingies with only green and purple and orange, dark chocolate with sea salt.
Bruce sighed. Jason didn't stop. Tim let his head rest against Dick, cocooned between two people who would never let anything happen to him, and quietly exhaled. He was safe, and with Pack now.